Hello, and welcome to the DebtWired podcast. I'm your host, Johannes Koch, senior reporter at DebtWire. I'm pleased to have with me Dennis Hoya from White & Case. Dennis is a partner at White & Case and an expert in structured finance and securitization. Within the law firm's EMEA Structured Finance Group, he represents clients, among them banks, insurance companies, debt collectors, multinational corporates, and a wide range of cross-border transactional and advisory matters. Hi, Dennis. Thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Hi, Johannes. Thanks for having me.
Great. So we are going to be looking at the introduction of a particular law. The German name is rather unwieldy. It's the so-called Kreditzweitmarktgesetz, which essentially translates into the Credit Secondary Markets Act. And it came into force at the beginning of last year. So we've reached its one-year anniversary, so to speak. It sets out the rules for the sale of non-performing loans, essentially. And we're going to discuss the law and the impact it has had on the market for non-performing loans in Germany, how it has changed the market, and how market participants are responding. But ultimately, whether it has already or has yet to deliver on its promise to improve the non-performing loan market. So let's jump right in, Dennis, and I'll let you set the stage. So for our listeners who are not familiar with the law, what are its origins and what does it entail?
Thanks, Johannes. The name is actually even worse than you mentioned, the convoluted German name, which can be translated word by word into Secondary Credit Market Promotion Act. I think for all of us, I'm going to simplify this for this session and simply call it German NPL Act. As you say, it's from end of December 2023. It actually comes from a European directive, which needs to be transposed into international law, and that is what happened end of December 2023. And that European directive, which is also called the NPL directive, was originally launched by the European Council in 2017 and in an action plan where they attempted to tackle non-performing loans. Because what had happened is after the financial crisis left a number of banks in some member states with very high ratio of NPLs. And therefore, the European Council concluded in this action plan that something needs to be done. Policy action needs to be done in order to deal with this high stock of NPLs and to address it and also to avoid for the future that this can happen again. And therefore, one of the specific policy actions and areas was to develop a secondary market for distressed assets. And that is background to this NPL directive, which was enacted in November 2021 and then transposed into German law in December 2023 with the German NPL Act. And perhaps a little fun fact, not all member states were on time with transposing this NPL directive. Just heard today from an Austrian colleague that the Austrian NPL Act was only published as of today. So in a way, some member states still had to do a bit homework. And what is the aim of this NPL directive, which is the origin for this German NPL Act? It's, as I said, to develop a deep and liquid secondary market for NPLs and to remove any impediments that you have for transferring NPLs from credit institutions to credit purchasers, but at the same time to safeguard borrowers' rights. That is the aim.
A deep and liquid secondary market was its aim.
Yes.
Before we get into that, so how does it work in practice? As I understand, it took a while for, I guess, a number of market participants, and who are they in particular? Maybe you can shed some light on that, to adopt the law with, and the feedback we got from the market was the first half of last year. Mm-hmm. There was very little trading in non-performing loans as a result of the law. And in the second half, things slowly picked up again. How do you see that? And basically, how does it work in practice?
Yeah, perhaps I will come back to your second point about trading activities last year and the level of trading activities, which is by and large due to the market environment. But first, addressing your question on how does it work in practice, trading of NPLs already worked ahead or pre this German NPL Act. So before that, the legal situation in Germany was that we had something that was about legal service in relation to debt recovery services. We already had that, and there was a specific act for that, a Legal Services Act. So there was already a framework in place to address how you are supposed to do this. But the new law has introduced additional obligations on market participants. Market participants were trading NPLs, credit institutions were selling NPLs on the one hand side. Then you have the credit purchasers, that is the buy side, who buy NPLs. And last but not least, you have the credit servicers, who are the ones who then, on behalf of the credit purchaser, service the NPLs. What the Act has introduced is basically three things. And number one, credit servicers who are looking after NPLs after they have been sold to a credit purchaser now need to be licensed before commencing credit servicing activities. Before the Act, there was no such licensing requirement, and therefore credit servicers were allowed to service NPLs without a license. The first thing is that now you need to be licensed in order to do that activity. Number two, if you are a credit purchaser and you buy NPLs from a credit institution, you must commission an authorized credit servicer to service the NPLs. So you can't go to a unlicensed entity. You must commission an authorized credit servicer to service the NPLs. And there's a little bit of difference whether it's a credit purchaser that is in a third country or some credit purchaser who is in a member state, but I will not go into such level of detail here. And then really the third new regulatory requirement that comes with the German NPL Act is that there are reporting and disclosure requirements that you didn't have beforehand. And what that means is these reporting requirements are for credit institutions that transfer NPLs. They must report a catalog of data on the transferred loans to German regulator BaFin and also to the German Central Bank Bundesbank. And also the credit purchasers, they now have, in certain circumstances, reporting requirements to the German regulator BaFin and Bundesbank. For example, if they were to resell the NPLs they have previously acquired, they would also need to notify this to the German regulator, which of course is something totally new. Then you also have some disclosure requirements that is on the selling banks, so the credit institutions. They are now obliged to provide the potential loan buyer, even ahead of the trade, with mandatory information about the NPLs and any collateral before selling. And that is an obligation that is also set out in the new NPL Act. These are the things that are new. And if you fall foul of these rules, then of course, you know, it is an administrative sanction that can be fined by the authorities. And the aim of all market participants, these three market participants, is to comply with these new requirements. As to your question, what the effects are of this new act and whether it has brought any change to the trading activities we have seen, I think you have said last year, which I believe you have said were low. I think that is not something you can necessarily attribute to this new German NPL Act. I think this new situation is something for banks, but also for credit purchasers and for the new credit services that they can deal with and are complying with as of now. But the reason why we have seen lower trading activities is entirely due to the market environment. And the market environment last year and has been difficult for the NPL markets. And that is mainly due to macroeconomic circumstances. So we have seen a period of low volume of new NPL formation. And also we have seen higher interest rates, as you know, who make it simply more challenging for NPL investors to buy NPLs and to refinance them accordingly. And that is the reason why we have simply seen a lower volume of new NPL trades or secondary trades. And I believe it's too early to tell whether the new NPL Act and the other NPL Acts that we see in other member states have any influence on trading volumes.
Thank you for that. I mean, I understand it might be too early to provide a view on whether this has had an impact or not. But looking forward, given there was a functioning market prior to this, it seems to me, and it sounds like a lot of additional bureaucracy and potentially even cost for credit service providers, purchasers, and banks. What's your take on that?
You're completely right. There's an additional burden on credit services, and they all went through this new licensing requirement right now. And I think if you look at the BaFin website, which provides a list of licensed entities, you see some 27 names. So most of them have applied for a license in Germany, but you could also use some passporting regime where you go through another country in order to get the license and then simply notify in Germany that you have the license in another member state and then do this service out of Germany via this passport. This is not an easy process. Everyone had to spend a lot of time and effort and, as you say, costs. So together with this macroeconomic effect, high inflation, reduced access to capital markets, and so forth, we have generally seen a consolidation trend in the NPL markets and also in the NPL servicer market. With this additional effect of licenses, costs, compliance with this new regulatory framework, I do agree with you that this thing has become a bit of a market entry barrier for smaller providers, credit service providers. And therefore, it may well be that some of the smaller ones or those who were planning to engage in this space have dropped out or have not continued to exercise this business plan. And therefore, I think there has been some concentration in this sector. And that is, of course, as you say, counterintuitive, because the plan of this NPL directive was to create a bigger market, as they say, a deep and liquid secondary market, attracting more demand from the buy side and making the market safer and more liquid. If we now have less credit service providers around, whether that is helpful or not, because it's likely to increase the concentration of market participants in this sector, that's a very good question. I wouldn't see it entirely negative. I think it's a very positive to stabilize the market, to make it safer and more crisis resilient. But then again, together with a market consolidation, of course, it also has an effect of crowding out new market providers. Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems a bit like currently it's a double-edged sword in the sense that there are some positive effects, but also this concentration effect affecting the market. So just in terms of outlook, where do you see this going? There's a new German government, and I'm sure it's too early to make any kind of prediction on any of that. But given there's some change in the air politically, do you foresee any revisions, or is there anything that might change given the experience and the feedback from market participants so far?
I think in terms of potentially new government and anything on the political front, I do not see that this is in the focus of attention, because we simply have no situation that we had after the financial crisis, where we simply had to deal with really high ratios of NPLs and to protect banks, to clean up their balance sheets in order to serve to the real economy with balance sheet capacity. So that situation is not present. And therefore, I think it's not on any political agenda, neither local governments of member states nor EU, to do anything in that respect. If there are some agenda points to use banks to provide more capital to the real economy, that has nothing to do with NPLs. Outlook, generally speaking, I believe is that I think the market has now digested this act and the increased compliance requirements. I think not all market participants are fully aware of the effects. So we do have clients who are making experience for the first time with this act and the requirements right now and who are unaware. Imagine, for example, you have an impaired loan which qualifies as an NPL, say one real estate loan, and a, say, German bank sells it into a third country purchaser, and they may not know that all of a sudden it qualifies as an NPL under this new German NPL Act, and you need to commission an authorized and licensed credit servicer in order to do the servicing. Market participants are now making experience with this requirements, but it's something they will learn and I believe work their way through. I think the workload for everyone is manageable, even though it's new. I would probably conclude with a positive statement on this, which is that we never know what the next crisis may be. And to have a stable and coherent framework throughout the EU amongst these three market participants, selling banks, buying credit purchasers, and credit services will certainly help to avoid any chaos. If we do have all of a sudden a new wave of NPLs, which can easily come in a crisis situation, and therefore it's to make the markets more resilient and to avoid that we have any problem than to service the real economy with new lending. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dennis. I think that's all we have time for today. So again, thank you for your insights and your time.
Thank you, Johannes.
And thank you also to our audience. Please help us by liking, sharing, and subscribing to the podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Bye.